Welcome to the ULM Forum, a conversation about higher education at the University of Louisiana at Monroe. I'm Jay Curtis. We have two guests in the studio today. Dr. Tammy Parker is a professor of economics and the endowed professor of entrepreneurship. And Lisa Miller is associate provost of enrollment management. Welcome to the ULM Forum, ladies.
Thank you.
Tammy, with the beginning of the new academic year, really starting things out, finances are a hot topic. People, you hear students sometimes moaning about, okay, this was an expensive semester. Parents right now are thinking ahead, and you know, they may know someone who's in school, or they may know another parent who is paying for a student to be in school. What do you advise for parents to be doing now to be saving up to send their kids to college in the future?
Well, they need to begin thinking about it. If their child is in high school, they're probably thinking, oh, I should have been thinking about this 8 years ago. If their child's in kindergarten, it just seems so far away that it's not even on their mind. So somewhere between those two is when they need to start giving it some thought. There's some programs available that can help. Somehow, though, you need to start planning for how to pay for your children's college education, just like you would your own retirement.
So what kind of costs are involved? Because they can range anywhere from a local community college to ridiculous amounts in colleges that are out of state.
Yes. If it's a private school, a four-year for tuition and fees is around $125,000. So that's a hunk of change.
Wow.
Yeah. If it's a public college, you'll probably pay about $35,000 over 4 years. And that's assuming that they actually finish in 4 years.
Now, looking at it from, because I have a five-year-old and an eight-year-old, looking at it from our perspective, looking at $125,000, that's huge.
That's huge. And, you know, one of the things you need to start giving some consideration is if the private college is the right option for you or public. Public is about a third the cost or even less. And so give some thought, do some investigation. Public colleges, public universities offer a great deal.
But for a lot of families, even looking at a $32,000 bill over four or more years is still an awful lot of money to have saved up in one place for when that child starts college.
Yes. It's not going to be loose change that these parents are going to have to be able to pay for this. It's going to have to be something that they plan for. There are some tax-deferred accounts you can do, the 529s. Louisiana has a 529. It's called START. And this allows parents and others, such as grandparents, to put in $2,400 to $4,800 a year that is tax deferred. And then, depending upon your income level, the state can also match part of that. That is, the state can contribute to your savings account for your children's education as well.
So doubling your money, in essence.
Exactly.
For someone who doesn't understand the concept of a tax deferred investment, that's something that you're putting the money in now and it grows tax-free.
Tax-free, and it also goes in tax-free. So that's a big benefit. State and federal taxes are deferred, and as long as it is withdrawn for education purposes, it is withdrawn tax-free.
So what are some other options? They're looking at, when I was growing up, it was always get good grades so you can get a good scholarship.
Yeah. Scholarships are a big deal. First of all, there's TOPS. And so whenever your child is in high school, they need to actively be taking the correct classes as well as earning those grades and the ACT score so that they can qualify for TOPS. Students need to apply for scholarships actively. Many university scholarships are available. There's also work study that's available for people depending upon your income level. There's also scholarships available from business and social organizations that people may be involved in that you don't always think of as scholarship sources, such as churches or civic organizations.
Do you know some resources of where parents could go to find out more about those? Because there are a lot of times maybe someone in that organization knows about them, but maybe nobody else really does.
The university will have a scholarship page, and so that will provide a lot of those that are funded through donations that have made through the university. For civic and business organizations that are giving out scholarships, you need to probably contact those individually. Say if you attend a church, they may have a scholarship, or if you belong to a civic organization, you'll want to check the website for those organizations as well as the national organizations that those are connected with.
So there may be some research involved.
Yes.
The good side of that is that that research can pay off in a very big way.
In a very big way, because it will, the more money you can get for your child from scholarships or grants, it means less money out of your pocket as a parent.
Now, as a last resort, there is the concept of student loans.
Mm-hmm. Now, student loans, there's different types of student loans. No matter which type it is, though, it's going to have to be repaid. It's just a matter of the interest and whether the interest is deferred or not and the amount of the interest. You know, yes, student loans are available. Students as well as their parents, though, need to be conscientious that if you graduate with a bachelor's degree and you start out life with that much debt, it's difficult because whenever you're starting out new in life, you're automatically going to have debt because you buy a car, you buy a house, you start a family. And so to add in the debt from your education, you know, sometimes that can become overwhelming for people.
So what kind of advice would you be giving, first of all, to parents who are looking at, okay, I've got a high school senior right now. What can I be doing right now?
Well, do it now, but hopefully you do it earlier than when they're a senior. You know, teach them the meaning of money and how to live simply. A lot of the expenses that college students are incurring, especially that they're accruing debt with, aren't necessarily associated with the tuition and fees. It's all the other kind of fun stuff that, you know, that we all have a tendency to be involved in.
Okay. It's the recreational.
The recreational that isn't necessary. It's that vehicle, the phone, going out to eat as opposed to packing your lunch. You know, try to minimize some of these expenses and get your child so that this is just the way they operate before they go off on their own at college.
So really, in the years leading up to leaving the nest, it's a matter of parents teaching their children to live responsibly with money.
Yeah, live responsibly with money, live simply, try to understand that debt, you try to discourage debt. And if as a parent you're incurring a lot of debt and living that way, you know, that's what your kids will see, and that's what they're going to just assume is okay. And it's going to cause difficulty if they are not able to find that great job that has that great salary. What I have found among our students as well as myself, even if we get that great job, that money just never goes as far as you think it will.
Well, thank you so much for being here today to talk a little bit about, and actually September is National College Savings Month, so moving into September next week, now's a perfect time to be talking about that. Tammy, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Lisa, you have some news on the enrollment front, just getting into the semester, convocation, the big convocation earlier this week, and just really getting things going.
The campus has just been so busy with activities all during the week, and it's always exciting to us to see the students back on campus and engaged with all these different activities that really enrich their college experience. So we don't have official numbers yet. Our census day is the 14th class day, which will be later on in the month of September, probably around September the 10th. And so it's really too early to have an official number. However, at this point in time, we are aware that our numbers are going to be down. We've been watching this all year. There are many things that we consider contributing factors to this. And just following Dr. Parker here, the economy is certainly a factor in terms of enrollment and the cost of going to school. Certainly is something that students consider. So, you know, for many years, ULM served this region in terms of the only institution providing higher education. And now we have the community college, and there is a large emphasis on the part of the state to direct students there to begin their education, especially if they haven't done, as Dr. Parker suggested, and saved money, and they're looking for a more affordable way. Many adults who are coming back to school who maybe aren't eligible for TOPS or their parents didn't save for them because now they're the grown-up, they're going to look for the more affordable route. So, you know, these are things that we know are a part of considering enrollment numbers. As we move forward with the emphasis from the Board of Regents to focus on retention and graduation rates, we'll be looking at students who are better prepared for the rigor that we demand here. So we will see our enrollment begin to shift a little bit. You'll see the retention and graduation numbers increase, and you'll see the overall headcount decrease a little bit. And so everybody just needs to kind of hold on tight and know that all is well. The campus is bustling, and this was anticipated. And so, you know, we'll be looking at other opportunities to reach out to other populations of students, especially through our online education programs that are bringing back many adults who have some education. This modality actually allows those students to complete their degrees that might not otherwise have ever had an opportunity.
Well, Dr. Parker, you may be able to comment on, with your background in economics, Dr. Tammy Parker, dealing with what the economy does to people making decisions both to go to college or to continue a college education.
It becomes difficult in a recession. Sometimes during a recession, people that have been laid off or unable to find a job will go back to the universities to get their degree because it's a lower opportunity cost in terms of, gosh, I don't have to give up my job because, oh, well, I got laid off. It's gone. And so therefore, they choose to go back to school. And that's quite possible that our online programs in particular will be affected by this phenomena. But then also there's the paying for it. And so if you don't have a job, how are you going to pay for that college education? Many people hope to be able to work at a company that will reimburse or pay for their college education. And so, you know, during a recession, that's even less likely. And the thought of being laid off, they're hunkering down and trying to save their money in case they're next.
So what effect, Lisa, can you say that this kind of a shift, especially when dealing with the community colleges, will have on the retention rates of the university?
I think it'll take a couple of years for us to really see a difference in the trend. Our retention rate was over 70% last year, and our unofficial numbers at this point in time indicate we're at the same place this year, which is what we're very excited to see. Actually, our sophomore numbers are up, which tells us we're bringing in a stronger population of freshmen that are ready for the rigor that we demand here, and so they're progressing through. So you'll begin to see that in the number of students who complete their degree and graduate on time as well. So it's going to take, I would say, 3 to 5 years for us to really be at a place where we can say, you know, this is what enrollment's going to be long term. We are anticipating additional increases in our admission standards. Next year, we'll increase our high school GPA. In 2012, the Board of Regents will actually implement a higher standard that we'll have to adhere to. And then for proposed 2014, we will not, at the four-year institution level, be teaching any developmental education, which, again, will be constant shifts for the next few years.
But also, as people maybe who are without a job might be looking at going back to school, there are some really terrific opportunities now to be able to do that online.
Absolutely. And that's who we're hearing from. Lots and lots of interest from adults that started their degree years ago and realize this is a way for them to complete. Interestingly, we have a lot of moms of adult children and spouses calling to say, what would it take for my wife or my husband or my child to finish their degree? Because, you know, that's always lingering back there in someone's conscious that, you know, I want to finish my college degree. I want to finish what I started. And so, you know, the inspirational stories we hear on our surveys and visiting with the students just, you know, makes us know this is why we're in the jobs we're in, because we know we're making a difference in people's lives.
And to see the expansion of the online degree programs with the business degree and the nursing
right.
degrees now that
marketing
it's
marketing online now, as well as psychology and elementary education. This is just a new way, a new trend in higher education. And we're very pleased with the systems we have in place to evaluate these programs to make sure that they are delivering the same quality of education that our face-to-face classroom experience is like here at the university.
Well, Dr. Tammy Parker is the professor of economics and the endowed professor of entrepreneurship, and Lisa Miller is the associate provost of enrollment management. Thank you both for being here today.
It's great to be here, Jay.
Thank you.
Comments or questions about the show can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu or send them to ULM Forum, care of KEDM Public Radio, 250 Stubbs Hall, 401 Bayou Drive, Monroe, Louisiana, 71209. Podcasts of the ULM Forum are available online at kedm.org in the listening room.